What's your opinion? This is It's Debatable.
Welcome to This Debatable, where every week students from the Department of International Relations at the University of Malta discuss a hot topic from current affairs. I am Mae Stayem, and I will be your host for the next half an hour. Today our topic deals with the question of multinational corporations and their role in developing countries. Present in the studios to discuss with us today are Caroline Muscat and Antonella Bayara. And today's academic speaker will be Dr. Arsenal Alshinawi. As the world continues to globalize, it is accompanied by criticism of the current forms of globalization, which are feared to be overly corporate-led. As corporations become larger and multinational, their influence and interests go farther accordingly. Due to their trade and production strategies, multinational corporations have been able to take advantage of the relatively more open world economy. On one hand, it is argued that multinational corporations can spur economic activities in developing countries and provide an opportunity to improve the qualities of life, economic growth, and regional and global commons. However, on the other hand, they are often also accused of destructive activities such as damaging the environment, complicity in human rights abuses, and involvement in corruption in those regions. Before our two students open the debate, I would like to welcome Dr. Arsenal Alshinawi here in the studio, who is a lecturer of international political economy at the University of Malta, to give us an introduction on multinational corporations. So, Dr. Alshinawi, what do you think? Give us a small introduction about multinational corporations.
Thank you very much for having me. I try modestly to share with you what I know about the large multinational corporations. To start with, as I always said, there's even, because of this only indicates the enormous role of these organizations in today's political economy and modern economy or the international system or world history, whatever people look at the world, is the fact that even on their names there's disagreement. They are called multinational corporations, transnational corporations, global corporations, enterprises, firms, a variety of names. They are extremely large corporations, organizations, entities that do invest billions in outside their home base in what we call host countries, and through foreign direct investment and indirect foreign investment in a variety of sectors, from consumer goods to high technology to a variety of building industry, arm industry. So these are large corporations that invest everywhere. Of course, because of their enormous size for the global economy, they have been very controversial, including for you students and for academics and commentators and all people who are worried or concerned with the social reality. And they look at these corporations, what is their role in politics, in economics, maybe in culture, maybe in society, because these are large and they do create a lot of effects and influences at the theory level and at the policy level.
Yes, Alshinawi, why do you argue is the main reason for their existence right now and today?
The main reason for their existence is the logic of capitalism, if we analyze them in the purely economic terms, in political economy perspective, is the logic of capitalism itself. These are the latest versions or the latest manifestations of international capital itself in the form of companies that invest around the world. And the logic itself, I mean their whole entity, their structure itself, it only can grow by expanding and remaining at the competitive advantage, keeping their competitive advantage through benefiting from competitive advantage. I mean, the basic theories explain it, the basic economic theories, and also the practicality and the variety of the resources across the globe. Countries are different in their capacities. So the multinational can benefit from those variation in human resources, natural resources, and so on.
So that's why we see they move to developing countries where they have a cheaper labor market and such?
Very correct, dear student. The fact is that these people look for a variety of resources at all prices, whether they are natural, whether they are human, even technological capacities. And they do examine the international market and variety of local markets and to look for all resources, whether they are natural, maybe in labor force, as you said, which we call human, prices, benefiting from the legal system also, very important, we should mention. For example, if there are lax environmental law, that's beneficial for them. You agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
Because the cost of carrying industry, the same operation in a developed society might cost much more, because of the attention given by policymakers in that country to the environment. But moving to a developing country where there are lax environmental laws can certainly benefit economically the mother corporation.
But what do you argue that they say that in more stable regions that actually spurs investments and multinational corporations, so maybe those developing countries don't have enough flows as to sustain those countries. So why do they opt to stay there for?
Well, the reality is, in economic terms, it has been very difficult really to really, really quantify the role economically in figures, whether the over intake or output or input is very complex. I mean, it's large, it's, it has been for many years, to really, really bring it in an indisputable way that how much figures really in actual currency went or went out. That's very difficult. So then it goes back, if economically it has been very difficult to establish, then it went to political scientists and other commentators, and people look at it from their perspective. For Marxists, they have been fundamentally negative for the development of the third world, or what was called third world. For the liberal school of thought, for the realist school of thought, of course, they can pinpoint on the positive impact, whether in politics or in economics. But it depends on the perspective. It's a world of perspective and approach and background and Which approach do we have to social reality?
I see. Well, at last, could you please pinpoint some advantages and disadvantages of the existence of those corporations in developing countries?
Well, again, I mean, the advantages, I mean, for the policymakers in developing countries, like, for example, in Iraq and in many parts of the world, politicians do mention they're positive in creating employment, in creating certain, of course, cash will come in, and there's a lot of, and then the local economy will be connected to the global economy. Maybe it will help in finding markets. Of course, there are elements that could be mentioned. But then others also mention the negative terms, whether they are busy in the field of culture and social norms. They do discuss the importation of foreign ideas, and the problem becomes of issues of sovereignty and autonomy. And even economists are worried how much that economy can maintain itself without that foreign corporation. Becomes part of all this cascade of, you know, loose, what they call footloose economic, you know, interactions. So there are fears as well, and there are negative comments, even in developing countries, that in developing. In the West, as I said, it depends on the perspective itself.
Okay, I see. So thank you, Dr. Aslan. And now let's start off our debate. Caroline, could you please define the concept of multinational corporations and how they operate?
A simple definition is given by Robert Gilpin, who describes MNCs as a firm that owns and manages economic units in two or more countries. Tens of thousands of MNCs have, with numerous subsidiaries, conduct business around the world. Such firms expand overseas through FDI, whose purpose is to get partial or complete control over marketing, production, or other facilities in another economy. Such investments may be in services, manufacturing, or even commodities. Multinational corporations attempt to expand their power and control over foreign economies. It is clear that the multinational firms desire not only to earn immediate profits, but also to change and influence the rules of trade and international competition in order to improve their long-term position.
Okay, let me stop you here. So what do you think is actually the main purpose and objective of those corporations?
Okay, so the main purpose of a multinational corporation is to organize and join economic activity in such a way as to increase global profit. The global corporation is a complete organization in which each part is expected to serve the whole. Thus, in the end, it measures its success and its failures not by the appropriateness of products, but by the growth in global profits and global market shares. The global corporation sees the world as one economic unit. The principal objective of the corporation is to secure the least costly production of goods for the world markets. This goal may be achieved through acquiring the most efficient locations for the production facilities or obtaining taxation concessions from the host governments. Many multinationals are extremely powerful institutions, and they have integrated the world's economy more extensively than ever in the past, and they have taken global economic interdependence beyond the realms of trade and money into the area of industrial production. Examples of such multinational corporations are those of IBM, Toyota, Fiat, or Nestle.
So why do they opt to invest in developing countries then?
Companies searching for resources and for larger markets have found it quite advantageous to look towards developing countries for cheaper resources. Also, governments create certain incentives as so to attract multinational corporations to the country, and these incentives may include lowering of trade restrictions.
Well, thank you, Caroline. So, as to understand more about multinational corporations in developing countries, Antonella, could you please give us an example of a country that is host of many MNCs?
Yes, my example is going to deal with multinational corporations in India. India has become one of the developing countries, hosting many multi-corporations such as Dell. MNCs were not important, were an important part in the Indian economy until quite recently. Most of the economy was based on public enterprise, and there were many restrictions on foreign trade, investments, private investments and monopolies. Since the early 1990s, large numbers of MNCs have been attracted to India. Some economists think that the presence of the MNCs has been essential in the Indian economy. MNCs brought with them a higher level of investment, rise in jobs, and rise in technological development. Indian companies will learn new techniques on production and will increase the competition of the country with other economic giants. MNCs also bring with them foreign investment to the country, which helps them expand their markets, and local industries also benefit. Other economists may say that MNCs are disastrous for the domestic industries because very few companies will be able to compete with the corporations. Furthermore, technologies are transferred by the MNCs are not very useful in countries such as India because most of the work is capital intensive, so technology transferred over there is quite of a little use. Although MNCs bring with them foreign capital in India, this capital will become the cause of the compensation of profits to the MNC's parent country, which causes capital flight from the country.
Thank you, Antonella, and thank you, Caroline. But now we have to stop for a short break. We'll continue when we're back. Before we return to our debate, the following is an audio clip on multinational corporations in rural India. It is an interview with Professor Jamohan Singh Raju from Wharton Economic Forum.
Professor Raju, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mukul. Thanks for inviting me.
So we're going to talk today about multinationals in rural India. And I wonder if we could start by just talking about which ones do you think have been most successful and why?
I think we have several more recent examples, LG, Nokia. But I think to look at it from a historical perspective, the ones really successful for many, many years have been companies like Colgate, Hindustan Unilever, Philips. I think all these companies invested right from the beginning in rural India, saw the value of the market, developed products that were useful for the rural market, went into the rural markets with their distribution systems, and really were very successful. In fact, the rural market always provided them with a nice buffer that they could bank on, and a significant part of their sales came from the rural markets. And these companies have been in rural markets for over 50 years now. It's becoming more fashionable to talk about it these days, but these people have been doing it for years. I think, I know you talked about MNCs, but I would consider some Indian companies to be also MNCs who have done very well in the rural market. They are MNCs in their own right.
Mm-hmm. So for example,
a company like Hero Honda has over 50% share of the motorcycle market in India, and nearly 40% of their sales come from the rural market. And then you have Godrej has historically been very strong in the rural markets. And of course, we don't think of ITC as a multinational today, but at one point in time it was a multinational. It's now an Indian company, but has a very strong presence in rural markets and has done wonders there.
What about the flip side of the equation? If you were to look at multinationals that have tried to enter the rural market but have failed, any examples of that sort?
I wouldn't say fail, but I think they had sort of weak starts, let me put it that way. And some of them then probably decided not to pursue that any further. I think Kellogg had a very weak start in the rural market. P&G never sort of really went into the rural markets. This may be sort of hard to accept, but many of the, other than Colgate, many of the U.S. multinationals have not done as well in rural markets in India, whereas all the successful examples, at least most of them, come from the European multinationals. So you're looking at the old ITC, the old Unilever. I think Colgate has been successful. Philips was very successful, again, another European multinational. Of all the U.S. multinationals, I think the name that comes to mind is Colgate, having done very well.
So let's drill a little into detail on that. Are there reasons why Colgate did well? And what were some of the reasons why the other U.S. multinationals didn't do well? And what can be learned from their experience?
I think the first thing is the rural market requires investments. It is not a dumping ground for things that you couldn't sell elsewhere. If you think of this as, look, I have some products, let me go take it there, this is a marginal market, I'll take advantage of it, that does not work. I think the classic principles of marketing apply just as well there. Try to make what you can sell there rather than just sell what you already make. That doesn't work. I think another mistake people sort of make is they kind of try to equate price consciousness to value consciousness, which I think is a very important distinction. Rural market is not price conscious, it's much more value conscious. The reason it's more value conscious is, spending a dollar for them pinches a lot more than spending a dollar for somebody who earns hundreds of thousands of dollars. So in some sense, they can't afford to go wrong in whatever they buy. I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. The other thing to keep in mind is that their frequency of use may be a lot lower than the frequency of use for the same product in urban markets. For them, some of them, it may be occasional use product as opposed to a regular use product. And I think another factor that people miss is that the rural consumer is buying many things for emotional value. You know, if you are very rich, you show your wealth by giving away to good causes. And but if you are not, if you are a rural poor, you kind of show that you care for your family by buying a branded soap. So there is an emotional value attached to brands that I think MNCs should recognize and take advantage of that.
Welcome back to this episode of It's Debatable, a platform for discussion for the students of international relations at the University of Malta. Today we are discussing MNCs and their role in the developing world. Back to you, Caroline. After analyzing this interesting SAY studies of MNCs in India, do you believe that MNCs in developing countries are a blessing or a curse?
I believe that multinational corporations in developing countries are truly a blessing. First of all, these multinational corporations provide employment to the people. Some people may argue that their wages may be very low, yet people in such developing countries often prefer these jobs than working as, for example, a farmer, which can have a much lower income. So therefore, by having such a multinational corporations, there are new jobs. Also, there will be a boost in the national economy. Since there is an increase in income, people will be willing to purchase goods and products, which will ultimately help the economy. Also, with the increase of income, there will be a rise in taxes, therefore giving more money to the government, which will be able to spend such money on domestic services, including health and education. Another point to keep in mind is that a multinational corporation may help to improve the infrastructure of the economy. It also may help improve the skills of the local workforce. The skill levels of such a workforce will ultimately be improved, since the corporation educates these workers in order for them to work more efficiently.
What is your take on that, Antonella?
I disagree with Caroline, and I think that they are more of a curse than a blessing. First of all, multinational corporations exploit the system of the country. These countries use raw materials and labor at a low price so as to earn higher profit, which most of it goes to the parent company. Also, due to the fact that they are mobile, they can easily shift from one country to another in an event of labor trouble, leaving the country economically devastated. Also, most multinational corporations operate in countries which have few labor rights. In fact, most of the human rights abuses occur in developing countries through use of forced and child labor, working under severe conditions. An example of this is, in 2004, a report issued that there were over 12,000 student children working in the farms of India, which supply their produce to MNCs.
So is it that you believe that MNCs not only exploit the system, but also drive out local businesses?
Yes, in fact, once a large MNC sets up a shop in a host country, local businesses will face bankruptcy because they cannot compete with its vast economic resources. Due to limited resources, local industry will lose its competitiveness and thus will be destroyed.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. But Caroline, what do you say on that?
Well, I mean, I disagree with this. Multinational corporations also bring about the introduction of technology and the know-how to such a developing country, which ultimately not only help the MNC, but would also help with the production of local industries. These firms also help to diversify the economy in such a way in order for it to not rely on primary products and agriculture. Also, to continue with this, they also provide an inflow in capital in such developing countries. This capital investment helps the economy develop and increase its productive capacity. The welfare of the country is also improved. In fact, the United Nations and the World Bank state that such multinational corporations are the key factor for the improvement of welfare. Lastly, another benefit of such corporations is that the political and cultural aspects of society are changed. Through these MNCs, these countries will be able to integrate in the international scene.
Okay, thank you for your opinion. Antonella, what is your main objective on the existence of MNCs in these developing regions?
As I already said, I believe that MNCs in these countries are not beneficial because apart from exploiting its resources for their own advantage, they are also destroying the local industry, and even in some cases they also affect the decisions taken by the government. So as for example in the case of the overthrow of President Salvador Allende of Chile in 1973, in which foreign firms were involved.
Okay, and Caroline, any final remarks?
I personally believe that they have these positive effects. Like as mentioned before, when these MNCs go to such countries, they employ people, which bring with it economical benefits for a country. They're also bringing the technology and the know-how, and ultimately training the locals with various skills. So yes, I do believe that they have a positive effect.
Thank you, Caroline and Antonella. Unfortunately, this is all the time we have. On behalf of the team behind It's Debatable, I would like to thank our academic advisor, Dr. Arsenal Al-Shanawi, and also thank our radio technician, Carmeno Greg. I am Mace Tayem, and thank you for tuning in.
You have just had the pleasure of listening to another student-run episode of It's Debatable, produced by the Department of International Relations within the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta. For more information, kindly visit mrsa.org.mt. Tune in next week, same time, same frequency.